This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Welcome. Welcome, my children of the night, to Blossom... To Bosom Bloodies!
What was I even talking about? Now that's recording, I'm all self-conscious.
That's all right. We'll get back to it. Glenn has suggested that we introduce ourselves at the beginning. I'll introduce myself and I'll give you my best witch's laugh. And Glynis, you can introduce yourself, best witch's laugh. And then Jamie, if you would introduce yourself, best witch's laugh. And okay. We'll see who has the best. Got to get my tune my instrument. Welcome to Bosom Bloodies. This is Kale.
Double bubble toil in trouble.
That's mine.
Man, how do I even follow that? This is Glynis. I'm not going to do an extended laugh because I have a sleeping Cal who will wake up and probably freak out if he hears that.
He's going to have nightmares.
Jamie Flynn, and my cat's going to judge me now, so.
All right.
That was fun.
That was great.
It burned some calories, too.
Thank you, Jamie, for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So the first question I asked Jamie was, how do you feel about Halloween? Because before I even introduced that there might be a podcast or what I was asking for, I just wanted to do a vibe check about Halloween. So Jamie, 100% passed the vibe check. So Jamie, what's your relationship with Halloween, would you say? How do you feel about
it? I'm wearing one of my particular favorite costumes from Halloween. Marge is her name, and she's feisty and sassy. I love Halloween. I dressed up for Halloween for many years here in Charlotte. I went to Dixie's Tavern near the city, and it's no longer there, but it was a great time. I love Halloween. I love scary movies. This is the best time of year for that. So love it. Give it 2 thumbs up.
You'd love to hear it.
Did you love it as a kid and now you still love it, or was it something that you changed?
I loved it as a kid too, for sure. Probably more as a kid, you know. If I could go back, I would be like, enjoy your youth more, kid, because it gets really crazy for afterward. But I think it's wonderful. I love it. It's like dressing, you know. I wish I did it now, but thank you for letting me wear my wig.
What is your favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think, you know, Snickers. It's really satisfies you.
Mm-hmm.
How about y'all? What are yours?
Oh, I am the polarizing candy corn. As far as like this time of year, I gotta have canned corn.
I never got into it. I wish I did, but I never did. No.
Yeah, it's not for everyone. Kale, I don't even know where you stand on candy corn yet.
Where do you stand?
And candy corn, it is sugar. It's good. I'll take one. I'll enjoy it. I'll be like, oh yeah, candy corn. That's really good. But I can't do more than a couple. Where it's like, oh, this is just sugar. I can feel it in my jaw. It's sinking into my jaw. I'm a full-size Reese's cup. That's me.
Wow. Now we got to ask, how do you eat your Reese's? I mean...
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Okay.
Sponsored by Reese's.
I know. I was going to say. I hope we get that.
Are you talking about Reese's peanut butter cups?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Reese's Pieces.
No, that's trash.
Yeah. They're just trying to be.
Reese's Pieces are so good. E.T. E.T. knows.
But I think that's, they got hyped because of E.T. But
yeah,
you know, so you guys, you bought into the product placement. Not me. I'm in it for the mouthfeel and the experience. I normally just eat them just regular. I bite into them, two bites. But I did, at one point, I went through a phase where I would get the mallow cups, right? The marshmallow and the Reese's Pieces, and get two of them. And you would put them together and eat them as like a one peanut butter and marshmallow and chocolate sandwich.
Wow.
That sounds disgusting.
It was.
I'd try it. I would,
but
try
whatever
it
works for you.
I really enjoyed it and I miss it. I can't do it anymore. Because that phase was also called the, you know, add 40 pounds phase.
Yeah.
So weird how that happens.
How David Vines eats a Reese's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cup.
I eat them in the closet so my big brother doesn't take the other one. Aha!
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, says the guy who didn't shove a bunch of Reese's up his ass. That's good.
So we're here to talk today about scary television shows. These are the scariest television shows ever created. Scary movies. Everybody's got a favorite scary movie. There's a ton of them out there. I think television shows, scary television shows, harder to do, one, because you got to sustain it, and two, are fewer and far between in terms of quality. So I've got a list here of the best television horrors of all time, and then I'd love to get you guys to weigh in. But do you have any thoughts on scary television shows to begin with?
For me, Buffy the Vampire Slayer has such a complicated place in my heart because I loved it so much. It meant so much to me. And it was like, you know, a TV show about a woman that was also placed in like Hellmouth horror land. But then I learned about, you know, some of the real life horror happening behind the scenes, which was heartbreaking. But yeah, that was the first thing that jumped to mind when you said that. Kale, did you watch Buffy the show? I know you watched the movie.
How do you know I watched the movie?
I think you mentioned we were talking about it at some point.
We probably did. I did. I don't remember mentioning that. Yeah, with Paul Reubens as a vampire. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the show, but I didn't. I wasn't like deep into it like some folks. It was quality, though. It was good.
I think I liked the first season of American Horror Story, and then the rest were bad for me.
Yes.
That was a really good show. It was really scary.
Let me challenge it, though. What about the, I think it was season 4 when they were in New Orleans with the Coven of the Witches?
Didn't really get into it.
No. That was the first year that, what's her name? Kathy Bates.
She was good. She was good. I mean, I did watch that show. I mean, I did watch that season, but it wasn't like, sometimes like people will come out with something like right out of the gate and then they have to, I think that it's unfortunately so good in a way that like people compare it to, and I think I fell into that trap with American Horror Story where it was just like, I compared every season to how good the first one was. And some people might disagree with me on this, but I think the same is can kind of be said for, like Jordan Peele's films from like a filmmaking perspective. Like he came out with an Oscar winning screenplay that deservedly so. And then I think, you know, he kind of, his stories got the movies that he came, like Us, I thought was really good. I didn't really like Nope, to be honest with you, like the most recent, one of his most recent movies, and people might get mad at me about that, but it's just my opinion. I think that kind of happens sometimes when somebody comes out with something like so good and it's just kind of like they get compared to the original, which isn't necessarily fair on my part, from what the, you know, how the original piece made them feel.
No, I call it the Shyamalan effect.
Yeah, I was just gonna say him too, because like The Sixth Sense was amazing, and but then I don't think he's quite been able to sort of come out with a story like that. You know.
Sure.
Well, and the pressure and the expectation is that he does. So I think it compounds it. Like nobody expected anything out of Get Out or The Sixth Sense, but, and so they were amazing. But then everybody expected something out of the ones that followed. So,
right.
But Mike Flanagan does like incredible, consistent work. You know, The Haunting and then Midnight Mass, and he's an Oculus. And his some of his other movies are just like really good too, like Ouija. I like all of his movies really. But
Jamie, can I ask you, are you a Christopher Pike fan? Are you excited for Midnight Club?
I have never. I honestly have never read the books, but I'm absolutely excited because
he's gonna do a great job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find somebody who's also read these books.
And shout out to Charlotte's own Anara. I mean, just freaking killing it. So.
All right. Oh, we're gonna get there.
Sorry.
I'm going back to the list. The list.
My bad. No. See, I have ADHD though, so sorry. I'm gonna get us off topic.
Now, back to our story.
So it's a sad day here in Transylvania tonight. For unless the witch can be found in time and persuaded to take her broom ride over the moon at midnight, it means the end of Halloween.
What's gonna happen, Mom?
Are we gonna have a Halloween or not?
It's all up to the witch now.
So this is Rolling Stone's list of the best horror TV shows of all time. It's actually a list of 30, but we're not gonna go through all 30. So I'm saying 10.
Okay.
I'm starting at number 10. Which happens to be The Walking Dead, 2010 to present. Which, Jamie, you have a personal relationship with The Walking Dead more than most.
Yeah, I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
That I was on, I think, like 5 episodes, and it was amazing. It gave me my first, I think anybody that aspires to be an actor should do extra work because it gave me the experience of being on set. But more, I mean, and I was a zombie too, which was a lot of fun, although I didn't get to be like the hero zombie. It was really incredible to see like the hero zombies all made up. I was a little jealous, but you gotta be like really skinny for that.
I didn't realize they had weight requirements for zombies. How about that?
Oh god, yeah, you gotta be super skinny for like the
because those zombies are wasted away to nothing, right?
Yeah.
You were part of Negan's crew, right?
Yes.
On the Negan season, which is arguably the peak of Walking Dead, like that's when it was the best.
They
quality. And you were even in the episode, the season ending episode, where a couple of the key characters got killed off, right? Like
yeah,
you were there when they shot that, right?
I was there when they shot it. It was when Glenn had his like eyeball hanging, which was so I'll be honest though, not to rock on The Walking Dead, but that's the kind of stuff that I don't like, is that sort of like just sort of reveling in the torture of people. Like I don't like that. I think a lot of people stopped watching the show after that because they were like, no, I don't like that. Like I don't like you just like, but and he's like, Maggie, I'll find you, with like the eyeball hanging there. I was there. It was like it was almost, they finished that shot when like the sun was almost rising. I mean, it was like a week of all-nighters. It was the most intense thing I've ever done.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's incredible. So when you first found out you were going to be on the show, because you were a fan of the show before you got the extra part, right?
Yeah.
I assume you were very excited to get that
opportunity? I was very excited. I was grateful that my job let me take the time off to, drive, 4.5 hours to Sanoa.
Let's all stop and picture what that conversation would be like. Go your boss now, picture your boss now going into him and say, hey, listen, I need a couple days off. I got to go be a zombie.
Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of PTO coming, so they were actually like really happy for me. So
that's cool.
Right. Yeah.
I agree. I think there's some like gore in that show that maybe there's an appeal to that, but it is also like super scary. They ratchet up the tension on that show.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly, it was also like a really good lesson in acting, because I remember during the height of like when the night they introduced Negan, and like the day after when Negan's crew was leaving, like I remember Andrew Lincoln, like he was like, had to like be there, like, oh my, like going through all these emotions. And I remember him saying, it's not real. It's not like he needed to like reset the shot because it wasn't real for him. And like, I thought that was really cool. It was really neat to like watch them all work. They were all listening.
See the process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also came back sitting on one of the biggest secrets of one of the biggest spoilers in
television
history, right? Because everybody knew somebody was going to die,
but they didn't know who.
They didn't know who it was going to be. And you knew not only that it was somebody, it was two somebodies. There were two characters that got killed off. So
yeah, it was really hard. I should have a top secret security clearance now.
You should. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a good one for the list. Walking Dead, I would definitely put on the list of modern classic and just classic.
But seasons 1, 2, through 3 are the best, in my opinion. That's all I'm going to say. All right.
I agree. I think the seasons get better and better and better up into a point, but yeah. I'm sure somebody still loves it.
But I'm going to watch faithfully until the end. I mean, I will watch faithfully when it comes back for the final episodes.
And do you watch all the spinoffs too or no?
I did not watch the one with the young kids. I think I am going to watch Tales of the Walking Dead though, because that seems like really good. Like the actors that they got for that. And it seems like it's more about
that's
character driven.
It's all standalone stories, right? Like from within the world. I watched the one with Terry Crews and I liked it. I thought it was good.
Oh, is it out already?
Yeah.
It's out? Okay. I'm going to have to watch it.
Cool. I mean, you know, Terry Crews plus zombies. Yes. I mean, thank you.
Yeah. Was it character driven? Did it feel like character driven in terms of like, I don't really know what I mean by that though. So that's.
I would compare it to, you know, in the regular series, sometimes they would take one episode and they would just like laser focus in on one character and kind of show what they're up to. It reminded me of that. Like, it's not characters that you know, it's completely new characters, but it is just like really like, here's an interesting part of this world that maybe you hadn't thought about before.
Cool.
Number 9, which we talked about already, American Horror Story. I think it was a little bit of a game changer the way they did, you know, every season changing over to like the same cast, but a different show altogether. Yeah.
The ensemble kind of exploring a different type of horror.
Yeah, I don't know of any show that's done that before, but there's a show with Daniel Radcliffe that did that, but with comedy. But I don't know that they've had the same success as American Horror Story.
Yeah.
So we've already said my favorite season is the one with the witches, which also has Stevie Nicks. Star Stevie Nicks is like a witch.
The witchiest.
Yeah. Wait, is Stevie Nicks on this podcast right now?
Oh my gosh.
I tried to. Never mind. Great show. Season one, all the way.
You say season one.
I have a lot of more important things that I could worry about besides people thinking that I'm a witch. You know, all you have to do is come by my house, drop in. There's no like owls up there, you know. And, you know, it's silly.
Great. Number 8, Black Mirror.
Oh, yes.
It's a solid
match
list, right?
Back to that. Yes.
I have a weird story about that show.
Please share.
Because I love horror, scary things. And my husband and I sat down to watch it. And we watched episode 1, which was about the prime minister.
Right.
And the pig. And it ended. And I was like, that was the most disgusting thing I've ever watched.
Yeah.
How could you make me watch this? And Sam was like, I didn't make you watch it. And I was like, I'm never watching any more of this. So I haven't seen any more because I had such a like visceral reaction. I should probably go back because they're standalones, but I was just so mad.
That was really disturbing. Yeah.
They started like really, you know,
they hit the boards right.
Edge. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the worst episodes. I think it gets, you know, it goes up. I think that you have such low expectations now that it's just going to get better for you.
Right. It's going to be a treat, like just a happy experience after that.
I think that's the worst episode. I think that and the one with Miley Cyrus. I don't like that one. I've seen every one though. Those two are the worst.
Watched them all?
In my opinion. Huh?
You've seen them all?
I have.
I'm going to suggest, Glennis, here. We'll give you a suggestion of which one to go watch to kind of cleanse the palate and get a different perspective. San Junipero. Okay. Go watch that one. That I think is probably the best episode of the whole show every season. San Junipero. And it's a really, really sweet story too, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And I liked the one with Jessica Chastain in it.
Ooh, I love her. She's a great actress.
Season two, I think episode one. And there's also one on season one with, he's 10 million merits or 10,000 merits. And it's got Daniel Kaluuya. And funny story about the
15 million merits.
15 million merits, but apparently it's that role. We're connecting horror now because it was that role that got Daniel Radcliffe his role in Get Out, because Jordan Peele saw him in that and he got the audition for Get Out. So
Daniel Kaluuya.
Daniel Kaluuya.
You said yes. Daniel Radcliffe. And I for real want to see Daniel Radcliffe in Get Out.
Get Out.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
It's pretty That's, good.
I will watch those two. And okay. If there's any bestiality, you'll be getting a strongly worded note from me.
No, there's not.
Number seven on the list, True Detective, which I'm not sure that I would call this a horror franchise.
I have yet to see it. I'm saving it.
I haven't seen it either.
I've heard season one's much better than season two.
Yeah, I've only seen season one with Matthew McConaughey and Woody from Cheers. But we can pass through it. All right, number six, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which we've already touched on a little bit. But does it merit six? I guess I never really thought of it as that much of a horror show. It wasn't scary as much as it was kind of an action.
Yeah. And it's like, there's kind of, it, you know, it's kind of creature of the week.
Yeah.
And they always have like the big bad, and it kind of changes each season what kind of evil they're fighting.
All right. But the Scooby Gang holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. Scooby.
Number five, which I have never seen, but it showed up at the top of a lot of lists that I looked at. Number five is Channel Zero. Are you familiar?
No,
but now I've got to watch that. That sounds very scary.
You've got homework.
Yeah, it's also an anthology series. Each of its quartet of standalone seasons is based on different creepypasta. So it's based on stories that are out on the internet. I'm gonna have to check it out just based on how often it showed up. It only ran for a few seasons, it looks like. But
I googled it, and the art is
does it look gory? Like
it's textures. I'm one of those people, I don't like textures, and it's like a skull made out of teeth.
I see adjectives like gruesome and viscerally nightmarish, so I'm sure it is a bit gory, but okay. I'm going to have to check it out.
Definitely. I'll pass you. Let me know how it is.
Number four, which I would put on my list as the number one, but X-Files.
Ooh.
X-Files. I remember back in the day, like they had some episodes that really you would just
scared you.
Yeah.
The one that was banned? Like, they can't play it.
Ooh, I don't know. I hadn't heard that story.
One, there's a specific episode of X-Files that they're not allowed to play on cable. It's like, I think it's cannibalism or something. Or
is
maybe
it the
incest.
One? It's probably Home with Andy and Barney. Is that the one with the family? It's not cannibalism. It's incest.
Okay. I knew it was one of our cultural taboos.
Yeah,
which is interesting because that's all over House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones.
Well, no, this one, I'll give you the recap. Nobody's asked for this. You can fast forward if you don't want to hear why this was banned. And I think this is the one that was banned, but I distinctly remember. And when I watched it, I was like, holy shit. So they go to a small town, and in the small town, there's a sheriff named Andy and a deputy named Barney. Like they're mm-hmm. really hitting that. This is a small town. And they're investigating this family. This family has a severely deformed mother who they keep under the bed on a little board that slides out. And they were impregnating their mother and then having children that were severely deformed. And then they would, the babies, they didn't survive, but they would get rid of them. And so they were finding these fetuses and things buried throughout the county. And that's what made it X-Files. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Can you imagine being in the writer's room for that? Like, yeah. Hey, Bob, what do you say we put a lady under a bed?
It is scary, though. I distinctly remember the part of the scene where I think it was Mulder, like, rolls the lady out from under the bed, and she's, like, yelling at him and angry and upset.
Well, yeah, because she thinks she's going to get, like,
leave my children. Again. No. It was consensual. It wasn't rape. It was consensual.
Oh.
But it was incest. All right. Let's talk about candy for a minute. Just have a mental palate cleanser.
You should put a little graphic up there, like candy lewd or something, you know?
Candy lewd. How do you feel about white chocolate? Anybody a fan of white chocolate?
No, I am.
All right. Number three is Hannibal show. I didn't watch it. I know the source material. Haven't seen it.
Me neither.
It's too bad. Although it does. I know this. It stars one of the kids in the hall. Scott Thompson has a part in that.
Is it Hugh Dancy in there too? I think his name's Hugh Dancy. I think he's Hannibal. No, I'm wrong.
Good.
Just want to see my curl.
Number two, which I agree, I would put this at the number two, but my number one would be X-Files, is Twilight Zone.
Oh, classic.
It's a classic for a reason.
Mm-hmm. You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Yes, I've seen some of the old classic ones, there's something on the wing, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. William Shatner's was redone in the movie version by John Lithgow is who I was thinking of. John Lithgow in the Twilight Zone, the movie, played that. John Larroquette is also in Twilight Zone, the movie. But
I've seen the one, I think, where aliens come down and they convince people to go up in their space shuttles and they're going to get eaten or something.
To serve mankind, right?
Yes.
So again, to be in the writer's room, right? That whole episode is to pay off one pun where they have... they translate a book, and they translate that the title is "To Serve Mankind," and then they finally realized that it was a cookbook, and they were picking people on the spaceship to go and cook them. But the whole thing is just a build up to "It's a cookbook! It's a cookbook!" I think it's got a lot of great episodes in there, and I didn't watch it, but the Jordan Peele, I think for a while he was hosting a reboot of that.
Yeah.
It's one where every once in a while I'd be playing at 2 a.m. and I'll catch it. It's just it's like watching an old classic film. It's just a different pacing than you're used to. So I always enjoy watching it.
Yeah. Agree.
So how was your trip, sir?
Horrifying at first. I looked out the window and I saw something on the wing of the plane. The same thing happened to me.
So you want to take a guess at what do you think? Now, what would you put at number one? But what would you say is the number one if you had to guess?
It's hard because I feel like we've covered every time listed one. I was like, yes, I remember that show.
This is keep in mind that they put things like... True Detective and X-Files on this list. So any guesses?
Breaking Bad isn't horror, right?
I would definitely.
It's drama.
Yeah. I got an interesting thing about Breaking Bad, though, that ties to the X-Files. I was listening to Bryan Cranston's autobiography, which was amazing. And he was on the X-Files, and it's interesting how fate works out, because he was shooting an independent film, and they had to get it done at a certain time based on the budget, and he had to rush home, and he was editing the film that he put together, and it was only because he had rushed home that he got this audition and booked the X-Files. But the character if he hadn't played on the X-Files, we wouldn't have a Walter White.
That's right. Yeah, he met the producer there on that show. I remember him talking about that.
Wow.
And I watched that clip of the X-Files that he was on, and his character was so similar to Walter White. Very interesting.
Yeah, I remember that episode. So number one, no guesses? Any guesses? No guess. All right. Number one is Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is number one.
Oh, what? Why didn't I say that? So good.
Never seen it.
Oh, What? I know. Have to watch it. It's so good. Okay. The first season and a half are good.
It's scary?
It's not just scary. It's like weird. It's like surrealist almost.
I wouldn't call it a horror, but it is different, weird. The Rolling Stone calls it horror, so.
It starts with a dead body, so.
Okay.
It's the go. Central.
Yeah. Solid.
That's all it takes.
Solid.
Are there any that you would put in the top 10 that wasn't on that list for Rolling Stone? There are. I'm gonna add two, but I'm interested to hear what you think.
Nothing is jumping to my mind, but clearly my brain's not firing.
Maybe I'm biased, but I think The Haunting of Hill House and Midnight Mass, for sure.
Yes, The Haunting of Hill House is number 29 on Rolling Stone's list.
They got robbed. Sorry.
Well, I mean, still, they're in the top 30. So
That's true.
Do you think Haunting of Hill House or Midnight Mass is scarier? Which would you add?
I think probably The Haunting of Hill House scared me more. But I Midnight Mass was close, especially like the fifth episode was like, the way it ended. And because I'm especially like the play on like religion, I thought was so brilliant, like in its literal interpretations, the way it interpreted it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it has strong themes. It is good. It's someone to think about, right?
And the acting was amazing, especially Hamish Linklater as like the priest. He was just so good. So
he was good, but you know who was better?
Inara
Simone. That's her stage name. But Inara is a friend of ours. She's from here in Charlotte and has performed with Narrow the Foxes several times, her and her sister, Janeda.
Yep.
And we're so excited. Can I just quickly tell you the story? This is Midnight Mass we're talking about. Mike Flanagan is the creator, right? When I first heard that Inara was going to be, had been cast in a Netflix show, I was like, oh, well, good for her. How about that? Yeah.
That's so cute. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah. She's very talented. But I was just, oh, yeah, she got a part. But then I saw like, oh, no, she's like a major character.
Yeah.
And then I fucking watched it, man. And she's so good in it. And then I think it's the third episode when she has like the big monologue and the confrontation. And I'm like in tears. I'm like, oh, man, this is amazing. She's so good. So great. So
that's awesome.
I am biased too and incredibly proud of her.
Yeah.
You think she'll come on? Maybe we get her on the episode.
You should get on the episode.
Get her dad on.
No, hey, proud papa. I'm sure he would love to talk to us.
I mean, Rod is talented in his own right with his like filmmaking and stuff, you know. The whole family's talented.
He is.
That's so cool.
Yeah, her parents are huge. They came to like five of the shows at the comedy festival, literally.
Yeah,
every awesome. Time I turned around, I saw them there. So yeah, I would definitely add those. Is there any others that you would add to the list?
Yes, my brain finally kicked over and gave me. Did y'all watch Lovecraft Country?
Oh no, it's on my list. I've not seen it yet.
Did you watch it?
I watched it but I have to watch it again because I watched it like the night I broke my leg and I was in so much pain that I just couldn't sleep. So I was trying to take my mind off of it. So I turned on Lovecraft Country, but I'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, you have a visceral like connection to
I do.
bodily pain. But yeah, Lovecraft Country just like it's interesting. It's scary. Like every episode they do kind of a different type of horror. Like one episode focuses on monsters. One focuses on, you know, kind of like cults. And like one is sci-fi. It's very dense. It's like they kind of do everything. It's really ambitious. And also it's just exciting to see, you know, Black actors telling these stories instead of just constantly white people.
Yeah, it's very well received. I'm surprised it's not on the list.
I'm surprised it was canceled because I felt like it was a really popular show. Even though I didn't watch it, I knew it.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was popular.
I think it was. I think without giving too much away, it's based on a book. And I think they told the story. And so they I think they'd be wading into the waters of like, you know, making up stories that, you know, don't necessarily connect to the perfect world that happened in season one. And that was uneven. There were like parts that were, you know, episodes that were stronger than others. But I think you know, it could have gotten a second season, but alas.
I would add to the list Night Gallery, which was another Rod Serling show, and I just remember it more fondly. I haven't watched it recently, so I don't know if it really holds up.
Okay.
And I'm going to add, just because of my bias and my love of the films, the Ash versus the Evil Dead, which was a series that they made. Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, I think produced it, based on the Evil Dead movies.
It's good to see you, Jefe.
Good to be back.
How does it feel?
Groovy.
I got another one to add now that you've added that, because yours inspired me. I like yours. Hi. Black Summer on Netflix. Did anybody see that? Black Summer?
No.
Mm-mm.
Well, since you like zombie stuff, you should definitely watch Black Summer. It's another zombie thing, but it was like, it's really good. It's like another zombie apocalypse show. But they found a way to like make it different than The Walking Dead. I was absolutely suspect when I was like, oh, great, another zombie show. I'm really going to watch this, but it was really good. And I'll watch season three if they come out with season three. So,
Black Summer. It's going on the list.
All right. How about it just hit me that Jamie has done this entire episode with that wig.
Yeah.
With the curler in her hair.
Because, you know, it's about being, I don't know.
Yeah. Whenever she gets,
for you guys.
When she gets animated, it bounces. So that's pretty good. All right. Well, hey, man, that's a lot of television to watch. But it's a pretty good list.
I think so.
I think if you had asked me, you know, are there good horror television shows? I would have said no. But as I go through that list, there's definitely a lot of great ones on there.
And now I've got some that I need to watch. So
homework.
Yeah. Homework. Halloween homework. It's the best time.
Watch it with a friend.
I've never seen the X-Files, so I think I'm going to start with that.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. I hope it holds up, but
it'll be interesting.
I mean, I watched it when it first came out. My wife and I would literally, like, if something weird happened or something creepy, like there's a noise outside, we would look at each other and go, it's an X-File. Ooh, there's an X-File. It was so good at the time. I don't know if it holds up, and I didn't watch the reboot. I think you got some good television in your future.
I think so.
I'm excited to hear about it.
Well, I think it's a great podcast. I hope you guys continue.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Thanks.
Thank you for being a guest.
Was I a good guest? Was I okay? Did I do okay?
You were fantastic.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did not disappoint.
I'm
excited to be here. Came in costume. And, yep. It's just getting better.
When we have our launch party, we're going to have everybody come in costume. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Every time Kale makes a joke on this podcast, he like laughs and I'm like, no, really? I wrote it down.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, you're cool.
You're right. Cool.
You are.
I'll be cool, guys.
Get out.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.